society. About half the people in this room at one time or another were brought in by Commissioner Ryan, the slop of the trough of the state of Indiana. Such famous people as Jeff Davis. Who else? Fred Andre. Tim Wheeler, of course, who's the one fellow who stayed true to his principle. He lasted, I think, a total of, what, 3 days, Commissioner, before he got off. But I might add, too, that a number of his co-advisors are also present here who can testify to the Commissioner's great political acumen in Indianapolis. And, of course, there are those of us from Washington who knew him from his days as chairman of the Postal Rate Commission. He already is known for that to most of us here. In a very brief period, he managed to raise postal rates by about 60%. He's been out of that for about a year and a half now. I understand he's dabbling in horticulture and various other matters, and he's also apparently decided to get back in where the action is, and he's running for the city and county council of Unigov. And I don't know how quite that worked out between Stan Evans and John Ryan, but I'm sure that's a different story. So without any further ado, I give you Commissioner John Ryan.
Inference which one can draw from his remarks. Well, I am the Benedict Arnold of the regulators in the country. I think I was the first to claim that honor, and nothing that I have seen either in regulation or out has changed my position that what regulation needs is a lot more traitors. I think that in the whole area of the weakness, the political weakness of the welfare state concept, the regulatory agencies right now, at this point in time, as they say in Washington, is the weak point. I think it's the Achilles heel of the concept of the total government. I think this is true for a variety of reasons, and some of the evidence was mentioned by the previous speaker. Regulation, whether you're talking about classical regulatory utility regulation or whether you're talking about the new EPA and safety type programs and things of this sort, it's generally being accepted that these programs simply do not work. The old utility commissions managed to avoid looking asinine. The new regulatory agencies produce one asininity after another, and this is affecting their reputation with the public, with the voters, and in addition to that, it's also sapping their confidence in their own operation. And I think this was pointed out in connection with the CAB and the ICC. I think it's true at EPA, I think it's true at the Federal Trade Commission, I think it's true at the Federal Power Commission. All of regulation in the final analysis, as many of you have heard my remarks on this general area before, is a kind of a Mickey Mouse game which really has no substance in fact. A whole theory of economics has grown up which is totally unrelated to any real economics, and a whole host of law has grown up around this sort of thing which really has no relationship to the due process as it's known in the courts. And the regulators feel vulnerable for these reasons when the heat begins to go on, and the heat is going on now. Henry has mentioned the extensive literature, not only on the particular area which he was speaking about, but there's also extensive literature, as most of you know, on other aspects of regulation, pointing out its inconsistencies and, again, essentially the fact that it just won't work. It's totally impractical in terms of cost and in terms of results. We're beginning to get more renegade regulators, people from the Federal Power Commission and Federal Trade Commission, or at least attacking other agencies, if not their own, in terms of their effectiveness. And I think this falling out among thieves, so to speak, is another very good sign. The government itself, the executive, is in the process right now of trying to produce plans, like apparently Senator Kennedy, to at least seriously weaken, if not dismantle, the ICC. I think perhaps more importantly, the average Joe, the average citizen, the average voter in the street feels that there's something terribly wrong, and he directs his fear, his malaise in connection with what is wrong at regulatory agencies, and I think for good reason. I think this disenchantment of the voters in particular can be very practically and politically exploited. The voters feel there is too much government. They're being hassled by bureaucrats in their business, or their bosses are, or their jobs. Building is being held up by EPA restrictions and things of this sort. The obvious unresponsiveness of the regulatory agencies to the people with whom they deal is something which I think is generally felt by the voting public. And yet, there seems to be a sort of engine of a spontaneous germination of new regulatory agencies which is going on at the same time. Now, how is it that we have this situation where regulation is under fire, is being discredited, and practically so, and yet at the same time, the answer to this, at least from one segment of the government, seems to be more regulation. I think there are some questions, despite the rather extensive literature on regulation, which might bear looking into a bit more in connection with some of these problems. Some of these, I think, are worth exploring, and I suppose that this is a suggestion for the scholars in the group to take a look at some of these inside features, you might say, of this huge, indigestible mass of regulatory phenomena, which is sort of stuck in the gut of the body politic in this country, and give us some hope of perhaps getting rid of this monstrous hairball, which is interfering with our normal indigestion, with our digestion. I think one of the things that should be looked at, despite the Henry's comment on the simplistic nature of the regulatory theory concerning the regulated, is not just the regulated, but the entire constituency of the regulatory agencies. This includes the politicians, including the people who run the agencies, the bureaucrats themselves, as George Washington Plunkett would say, the civil service, the consultants, the horde of consultants which have grown up in the Washington area and other areas of the country who live parasitically off of the grants and programs which are developed by these regulatory agencies, the lawyers who let their clock run while they sit on endless hours of hearings and due process, cranking up the $60 an hour or whatever the current fee is at the present time. 100? They get better all the time. another part of the constituency which needs looking at is the vendors. Who sells the products that these agencies buy? And last but not least, the regulated industries themselves. An area which is frequently overlooked in regulation, and here I don't want to be accused of really apologizing for the regulators, yet I suppose in a sense this is in defense of them a bit, is the nature of the statutes themselves. This also has been touched on a little bit tonight. In the final analysis, a large part of the regulatory problem, I think, stems from the fact that each of the jobs which is assigned to the regulatory commissions by the statute is in itself impossible. Now, if people who take regulatory commission jobs were given an impossible job in industry, offered an impossible job in industry where there would be some accountability, they would very likely, if they were wise, turn them down. This is not the case in government, and is particularly not the case in the regulation agencies. Because the job is impossible, the first job of the regulator is to produce some sort of action which looks reasonable, so it looks like he's doing something. He has a proprietary interest in continuing error. That is, he borrows the error of other agencies because it's been done before, and he can't be blamed for something which was thought up by someone else. I think a whole part of this package is the rulemaking process, which is a very interesting procedure and not understood really, I don't think, by anyone who isn't part of a regulatory process. The rulemaking procedure is a defense mechanism. Because the task assigned by the statute to the regulatory agency is impossible to perform, they are in fear that they will be blamed when the impossible cannot be done. So they transfer the blame from themselves to the regulator. They do this by putting out a set of rules after due process and hearings, which are impossible to comply with. Now, if the regulated industries don't comply with the rules, then the regulation commission itself cannot be held responsible for the failure of the process. And as a fellow who's been on the inside, believe me, I know what I'm talking about. That is one of the primary functions of the rulemaking procedure. Make it as complicated, as difficult, as fuzzy as you can, and then when something goes wrong, you can say, geez, you guys didn't comply, it's your fault. I think that somebody should take a look at the full economic cost of regulation. There have been some very good studies done on this, but I think they've missed, because most of them have been aimed at the classical utility-type regulatory agencies, I think they've missed an awful lot of cost factors. There's just obviously the direct money, the expense which can be measured. But in addition to that, there's such things as the time that's involved in the regulated industry. And again, I'm not just speaking about public utilities and railroads, but I'm talking about regulation like EPA and OSHA and this sort of thing. The thousands of hours that are spent not only filling out forms, but worrying about how you comply with these impossible regulations, what is the nature of the OSHA inspector in your area, and a great many things of this sort. The cost should be figured on the options foregone, the foundries that haven't been built, and the additions which haven't been put up, simply because of the difficulty in meeting these regular, possibility really, meeting these regulatory requirements. The entry discouragement, the businesses which have not been started, an incredible waste of the resources of the area. I think that this whole section is almost virgin ground once you get past the regular utility type of regulation. I think another area which has always kind of intrigued me, and I'm not a lawyer, is it seems to me that through many of the regulatory agencies, the concept of the separation of powers has been effectively bridged. It's not unusual at all for a regulatory agency to combine legislative, executive, and judicial powers in the one agency, essentially. Now, they have little gimmicks for trying to make that appear to be something other than what it is. Some of them do. Some of them don't even bother with that. It seems to me that this is an area which could be productive in terms of the attack, which I hope to promote tonight, on the regulatory agencies. But I think overall, the main thing, and I think this is a part of the format of previous speakers and been suggested by others on the program, is to move to the attack. We've got to take off the gloves. It's time to go to work on these babies because they're vulnerable now. We can get the popular voter majorities, I think, behind us. I think the idea that Henry mentions going on in Florida with respect to the state regulatory agencies is one of vital importance. The pro-regulation man should be made to prove his case. The burden of proof should be on him, and it shouldn't be on people to have to point out the holes and the foolishness in the particular programs which have been presented. I think, again, the climate is perfect for this right now. I think we can go to any of these new regulatory, this Consumer Protection Agency or whatever it is, which is being formulated in Washington now, and I think with the proper intellectual approach that we can make them essentially prove their case. And I think the people will back us up in connection with this. I think it's necessary to concentrate our firepower. The suggestion was to pick them off one at a time. I think this is just good military strategy. I think that's precisely what we should do. I myself would probably choose the ICC first. I think I'd leave the CAB for about third. I've got a particular one which I think is most vulnerable right now, and that's the EPA. I think we can attack the EPA through a conspiracy, if you will. I think we use the communist tactic of combining with people with a similar interest, a mutual specific interest, on a particular issue. I think labor right now is sick to death of EPA. I don't think it's at all inconceivable that a group of people could get together with the labor management, with the labor leadership, and they could launch a program not aimed at restricting EPA and not aimed at modifying its effect, but taking the statute off the books completely. This would be a delightful change from what we're expecting out of this Congress, and I'd like to see them put on the defensive to the extent that they were defending an agency rather than trying to give us a new one. I think we have to dispute on principle rather than compromise on particulars. I think we have to go for the jugular in connection with what is wrong with regulation, with the fact that it does not work, the fact that the planner's concept of adding new regulation to try and put band-aids on what's wrong with the program now is absurd and very vulnerable. I think that we can take advantage of the timing. As I say, the regulators are losing faith in their capacity to cope. They are on the defensive now, and they have very few friends, and there is no intellectual justification for regulation to speak of at the present time. My advice from now on is sic 'em.